tuning in to the Upshift Podcast. We are back from Daytona. This is the Daytona Fever Hangover Show. Yes, we are back. No, we did not win the lottery and stay in Daytona like a lot of people think because we hadn't put out a podcast in a while. But yes, we are back. We are talking about all Daytona in this episode, a little bit of motorcycles and a little bit. Isn't that funny? We talk a lot about motorcycles. That's what this podcast is about. But hey, thanks for tuning in to the Upshift Podcast. Give us a follow on Instagram. That's where we do most of our pictures and do some reels, interact with you guys and gals. We do everything on Instagram. The Upshift Podcast on Instagram. You can follow Brian there at the Upshift _NH up there in New Hampshire. But yes, we're back getting this episode out for you guys, and we'd like to welcome a new sponsor, and they are Suspension Technologies out of Largo, Florida. Because when the Upshift guys ride, we ride on Suspension Technologies. I want you to check those guys out, suspensiontechnologies.com. Check them out on Instagram at Suspension Technologies and Facebook. Give Mike, Steve, Peanut, the guys a call. Have them set you up with a suspension. We will be hanging out with those guys in Laconia. Our next episode, we will talk about Laconia, what we're going to be doing up there, a little bit more riding. But enjoy this episode. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one. The Upshift guys. And welcome in to the Upshift Podcast with your host Brian and Brian. And no, we did not stay in Daytona. We are back. Are you there?
We are definitely back. Definitely back in the cold.
I missed you there for a minute. Yes, it would have been nice to stay down in Daytona because you came back from Daytona with I don't know, a foot of snow. And I came back to Daytona with like 30 degree weather and no snow. But after being down there, 85, sunny, sunburnt, riding motorcycles, coming back home wasn't fun.
No, coming back home to a nor'easter, they called it. We got about probably 23 inches of snow.
Oh, God. I thought it was a foot. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So it was a little tease. Florida was definitely a tease because as soon as we got down there, it was 80 degrees. I almost said it was too hot at one point, but I stopped myself and I said, it's better than being home.
Yes, definitely. But we are back. Yes. We just took an extended vacation after our vacation.
Well, a little technical difficulty forced vacation, I would say.
Yeah, that we are, what should we say, technically challenged when it comes to hey, just if you've listened this far, we're doing good because Brian and myself, we're not real good when it comes to technology. So us to record and get it out to the listeners is a feat in itself.
Yes, it is. But hey, we have fun trying to do it, right? So
yes, we did. We spent an hour and a half the other day trying to get that done. So we're like, okay, we'll just take the weekend off and regroup, and we'll come back and hit it again. But here we are. We're fresh. Well, I say we've been home, 3 weeks? Hey, I lost you.
Oh, there you are. Yeah, fresh 3 weeks. It's been at least 3 weeks.
Yeah, so the weather is breaking here, so we've had nice motorcycle weather here, and I'm assuming you are getting that way yourself?
I'd like to say so. We had a 50-degree day yesterday.
Okay, that's better than 20 and snowing.
Yeah, 50 degrees, but we had a 25-mile-an-hour wind, so that brought it back down to about 30 degrees, feel like.
Okay.
So, but the sun was there. It looked great from my living room window.
Or if you were in the garage and you peeked out.
Yeah, I was definitely in the garage for sure. I was working on my shovel head.
Okay, yeah, we'll get to that here in a little bit. News on the shovel head. But
We've already talked about it a few times. Let's dive into Daytona. We'll start off with you, and you haven't posted this picture yet, and neither have I, but I have it, and you sent it to me, and I've showed it to everybody here. But how you load it up. So give us the rundown. Your whole trip, you had the one-man pit crew on the side of 95.
Oh, jeez.
So talk about that, and then you can talk about that awesome ride to Key West that you had.
Yeah. So my plan was I was going to leave on Tuesday morning, bright and early, and then probably a week prior to that, I kept on seeing on the news that we're going to get a big snowstorm on Tuesday. So I figured it would be smart. I'm going to leave early. I'm going to miss the storm because, you know, I'm in New Hampshire. Yeah. The storm was coming from the Michigan area, coming across to us. So I figured if I left early, I can get down south and miss it. And so I was like, oh. So I left Monday night. And by the time I got to Connecticut, it was a whiteout condition. Couldn't see anything. The roads were covered in snow. And I was going 25 miles an hour on the highway. So, and I'm pulling the trailer, the little rinky-dink trailer behind me. So I figured my best bet was I'm just going to pull off the road. I got to the rest area. I ended up taking about a 4-hour nap. And then when I woke up from my nap is when I took that picture of the bikes.
Oh, my God.
Just covered in snow, salt. At that point, I almost turn around and go home because it just started off so miserable.
Yeah, it just takes the wind right out of yourself, definitely.
Yeah. So after my 4-hour nap, I journeyed on. The roads were still horrible. I was still going 45 miles an hour all the way through Connecticut. And probably by the time, what did I go? Connecticut and then New York, New Jersey. And by the time I was in New Jersey is when it started raining and the roads were just wet. And I could actually go the speed limit again. But looking in my rearview mirror, the bikes were just getting hammered with with water. So at that point, it's middle of the night. I just cruise on. I go as far as I can. Then I end up taking another nap. I mean, I planned on only taking about a 5-hour nap for the whole trip. And now I'm 8 hours into my little bed here in the back of my truck.
Oh, my goodness. And so you left, you said 9 o'clock at night. So it's just dark. The sun's not even out.
Yeah, it's dark. And I thought I was cruising. I'm like, I was looking at the weather. I said, oh, yeah, the snow, it's still out west a little bit. I figured I had it made, but nope. And then, my buddy, he was working that night, and he happened to be on the same highway on Route 84 in Connecticut as me. And he's like, he texts me. He's like, it's snowing where I am. I'm like, I'm below that. I don't have to worry about that. and all of a sudden, yep. But as soon as I took another nap and then I woke up and then I started driving, I just drove nonstop. I was full of energy. The sun was out and
going to Daytona. So you had Daytona fever.
Had Daytona fever. I just wanted to get there at this point.
Yes.
So I'm cruising down. I believe I was in North Carolina, just cruising 70 miles an hour. And all of a sudden I hear an explosion.
Oh, goodness.
I'm like, I hope that wasn't my bike that just fell off.
Okay. You saying that, I have just these thoughts go through my mind.
Yeah. So explosion. And then, so I see the trailer tire just disintegrated. And luckily there was a breakdown lane that I could actually pull over into because, you know, going through some of those construction zones, there's nowhere to pull over.
You're there. You're stuck.
Yeah. So luckily I was able to pull over and I had everything. I had my jack, my hydraulic jack with me. I had my impact. I had the sockets ready. So I think from jumping out of my truck and changing the tire, getting it off the trailer, putting the spare on was probably 7 minutes. And I took a leak on the side of the highway.
In North Carolina.
in North Carolina. Yep.
Anybody was cruising through North Carolina, somewhere in North Carolina, on 95 and saw a guy with two dirty motorcycles full of salt, snow, and he's over there with his pants down, using the bathroom, and changing tire, all at the same time. That was Brian.
Yeah. It, like I said, it was a pretty fast stop, so I don't think anybody saw me. I got into Daytona about midnight. So the following day, so Tuesday about midnight, I got into Daytona.
Okay.
And so I think about in Georgia or somewhere, I had put like a shrink wrap around the bikes because I knew there was going to be salt on the road and I didn't want the salt bouncing off the bike. So I did cover the bikes with the shrink wrap. And in about Georgia, I peeled it off. It was like, oh, gross.
Yeah, you sent me that picture. So, yeah, you need to post that up on Instagram and be like, hey, when we trailer, this is the reason why you trailer is because there's no snow chain to fit on a Harley.
Yeah, and, I mean, I've gone down 15 years, and we've always had a covered and enclosed trailer. And literally, we've never hit snow. Never. We might hit rain, but we've never hit snow like that before.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. I mean, you were not the only one. Just a lot of things I saw on Instagram. I mean, anybody that was, you know, northeast above Connecticut, they were all, I mean, they were all full of snow.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to get down. I heard some people from way up, you know, around the Canadian border. And Wisconsin had to do it. There's, you know, a bunch of stuff on Instagram. You think, hey, that's dedication, especially if you're riding.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. Jeez.
I couldn't either. I mean, that's just crazy. But you made it. Yeah, you made it to Daytona.
Yep. So I made it to Daytona with the bikes on the back. Both of them were there, minus a spare tire, but I made it. But what about you? You rode from.
Well, yeah. I did. And my journey is nowhere near what yours was. So you left on that Monday night to you there Tuesday. So fast forward a few days, I leave here in South Carolina, which I'm only 447 miles from basically Flagler Beach, around where I stay. That's the mileage. But it had started to rain about 9 that morning. And so I went to work and I'm like, okay, it'll clear up. And the whole front of the office here is glass and I'm looking and it just gets harder and harder. And then I look at one point and it's a downpour. And I'm like, this is not going to be fun at all. But I was like, I'm committed. I'm going. So go home, get the bike, suit up. And I take off, and it pretty much rained all the way to Savannah, Georgia. Not hard rain to where I needed to stop, but a couple times just steady rain or just mist. Ugh. And I made it to Savannah. It got dark, and I knew the longer I pushed it, I said, man, Savannah. So I just went ahead, got on the phone, made a reservation. And I was like, hey, and there's a funny thing about making reservations, you know, usually the day of, there's no deals. Well, you could stay at the nice place for $250 or the crummy place for $250. It didn't matter what place you picked in Savannah. They knew it was Daytona time, and they're all getting $250.
Oh, yeah. I think, like, literally, like, 400 miles radius of Daytona, all the hotels got together and said, time to jack it up.
Yeah. Well, and we talked about on that other podcast about where to stay and all that. We'll go back and revisit that at one point on another podcast. Hey, if you want to get our take on it, jump back, five or six episodes ago, and we kind of do why you stay downtown and why I stay out of town. And I think from what we talked about while we were there, I think you're going to stay with me next year. We're going to get a house with a garage.
Yeah, that's the plan. So we're going to see what goes on with that, but that is definitely the plan.
Yeah. So yeah, I made it to Savannah and then I got it the next day and, you know, so I'm right there on 95. I'm only just a few hours And so I jump off on 95 and put the road glide in the wind. Now, granted, this is the first big trip on my road glide since everything got put together and it got on the road. I mean, there was some, I think, like 220-mile shakedown on this thing, which, I mean, it runs. I mean, there was no mechanical issues. There was just, you know, a front end here and some tires and things like that, but, you know, and all the new parts. But, yeah, so I made it, and I want to apologize to a guy. So, you know, when you're on 95 heading south and you're in Georgia, it's three lanes. Sometimes it splits off to four because there'll be a big exit. And I'm in the hammer lane, and I see a line of cars coming behind me, and they're moving. I'm like, okay. And I could see them a good ways off, but they were getting closer and closer. And I'm like, hey, I need to click over and just get out of their way. So I'm scanning mirrors. I'm looking everywhere. I get over, and there was – so I'm in the hammer lane. I move to the middle lane. Well, there's a guy. He is in the far lane. Well, he decides to come over to the middle lane at the same time I do. So, I mean, literally, I could reach out and take his sunglasses off if he had his window down. That's how close we were.
That's scary.
And it's one of those where you look, you know, look three or four times, you know, you're scanning, and then literally I get over and there he is. Well, we're pretty much in the same lane, so we just ride beside each other. Here comes this train in the hammer lane. Well, I just shower down on it and get out in front of him. And I'm like, dude, I didn't see you and you didn't see me. So we, you know, he threw up his hand, you know, not in a mean gesture. He's like, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. And I'm like, hey, I think we just both wanted the same lane. But yeah, so head on a swivel when you're riding anywhere, but God, especially, I mean, I want to stay in the hammer lane because I'm running at a pretty good pace just to stay out of traffic.
No, I agree.
Follow people. I don't like to ride beside trucks. I like to be out there on my own. You know, there's times when you can't. But, yeah, that was so, yeah. And the guy, and when I, a few, probably a good 20, 30 minutes later, maybe he passed me or I passed him again, and I saw he had a South Carolina tag. So I was like, maybe he's going to Daytona. But, so, Mr., if you're listening to this, hey, we were just going for the same lane. But, well, hey, I made it to Daytona, but you went somewhere else. Give us the rundown on where you went.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, I made it to Daytona. That's where all the fun began because met up with the boys, unloaded the bikes, and I was on two wheels in the 85-degree weather heading to Key West.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so
48 hours earlier, you're in a blizzard whiteout condition.
Yeah, and now I'm in a t-shirt getting sunburned.
Yes, yes.
But, so we leave Daytona. We head towards Lake Okeechobee, which I've never seen before, and it looks huge on the map, and it definitely is huge.
Yes, it looks like the ocean.
Yeah, it's huge. It's, but one of my buddies was telling me, like, the deepest part of that lake is only 22 feet deep, which is mind-blowing.
So we
get together. There was four of us total going to Key West, so we jammed down to Key West. I mean, not to Key West, we're down to Lake Okeechobee where we stay the night, get some good sleep, and then we wake up early in the morning and we just cruise through Miami down through the Keys. Unfortunately, somewhere in Key Largo, I think I lost my Noise Cycles hat. Was not happy about that.
Where did you have it on?
Yeah, I had it on. And, well, because I was starting, it was hot. I was starting to get sunburn everywhere. So I had to put, like, a bandana on my head just so I wouldn't get burnt.
Oh, Mr. Bandana.
Yeah, I know.
Durag Brian.
I should have brought my helmet. I don't know why I didn't. It was in my truck. I should have just brought my helmet.
Not a good place.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it was doing me a lot of good in the back of my truck.
Definitely, yes.
So, but anyways, yeah, we got down there. We had some good food at the 7 Mile Bridge, right at the base of the bridge. We took some pictures, and it was just a beautiful ride down Route 1. It's Route 1 seemed like it just never ends. There's 43 bridges going into Key West. I know everybody's been to Key West, but it's just so cool.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. Now, were you on the highway going through Miami?
No, we weren't on 95. We were on some back roads.
Okay. Yeah. So you avoided that catastrophe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, but I don't, then, you know, there's one way in, one way out of Key West. So when we were going in, there was some serious traffic.
Yeah, there always is.
Yeah. So, but once we got in there, you know, we found our place where we were staying. We parked the bikes. And I think that the whole next day we rented a golf cart and just cruised around Key West in a golf cart, hitting up all the little bars. And I had some key lime pie, some key lime cheesecake. And yeah, I felt like a real tourist.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, and that's the thing about Key West is you can – I mean, it's a fairly big place, but riding a motorcycle, that's the destination.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no riding down there. I mean, did you go out and get your picture at the buoy?
Yep. Oh, yeah, I went to the buoy, went to Mile Zero.
Okay.
There was a little bit of a line when we went to the buoy. I wanted to come back the next morning before we left, but we left at like 4 in the morning. To get out of there, to go back to Daytona that Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. Like, woke up at 4 in the morning in a t-shirt. I was riding in a t-shirt 4 in the morning. Yeah. Leaving.
The southernmost tip of the United States. Yeah.
It was pretty great. So then
in March.
In March, yeah. So then, yeah, then Saturday. We got back into Daytona on Saturday and just kind of hung out. But what'd you do on Saturday? You went to the Supercross, huh?
Yeah. So what's a mileage? It's like, is it 450, 400 from Daytona to Key West?
I don't know
I can't remember. I'm trying to think. It's like, it's 300 to Miami and then another 100. I don't know.
I think the whole time I put about 1,400 miles on my bike the whole week, so.
Okay, you did pretty good. I just switched it out on my trip, was 1,688.
Nice.
My whole trip, 1,688.
There you go.
Yes, so Saturday, we got up, and I love the Supercross, and this is, what, my fourth straight year going to the Daytona Supercross. Used to go years ago and just kind of got out of the habit going later in the week, and now I can kind of go early, and went. I had a great time. Tomac wins his 7th Daytona. I think it's his 4th in a row. His 4th Daytona in a row, but he's won 7 altogether.
Yep, he's
he tied Richard Petty at Daytona. But
yep.
Yeah, that was pretty good, and it was. Saturday, we hit a bunch of places here and there, just going everywhere. Trying to take it all in. And I was like, I don't want to go sit around and watch all the heats and all that. I want to go and I'll watch the, you know, the LCQ and, you know, the last heats and then the mains. And so that's what we did. And a storm came up. And if it's not lightning, they're still racing. And So going, I've set the right, the left, in the middle, down close, out on the track. And so I'm like, well, I'll sit up really high to where I can see everything. So that's where our seats were this year. And then when it started raining, I'm like, I don't want to get up here and get soaked. So we walked down and walked to mid-track. If you're familiar with the Daytona Speedway, like in the middle, that's where the start-finish line is for Supercross and any of the car races or motorcycle races. And there's a big, you know, big tower, 4 or 5-story tower. Well, we just kind of weaseled our way, and we were right at the start-finish line up on the mezzanine, I guess you'd call it, looking straight down. So we watched the last – we got phones ringing in here in the conference room, but watched – like I said, the last 10 laps, and Tomac takes it and ends up. I guess the last 10 laps were probably the best.
Yeah,
I always thought. Which it's still good. I mean, it's, you know, it's the world's best Supercross riders out there. But yeah, it's Daytona. I mean, it's the fanfare, everything there. That was the biggest crowd I had ever seen at a Supercross race. I mean, there wasn't an empty seat anywhere where everybody was sitting, and then you could sit on the other side, like on pit row. That would be the other side of the Supercross track. It was packed in.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's fast forward to the fun part. So I think it was Saturday night. I shoot you a text. I said, I'm back in town. Where are you? You told me where you were, and we're going to meet up Sunday morning. We're going to meet up at Bucky's.
Yeah. Our first trip. Actually, that was my – when I met you at Bucky's Sunday, that was my second Bucky's stop.
Because I did stop at the Bucky's in South Carolina, that one you told me about.
Yeah, in Florence, yes.
Yeah, I did stop there and got kind of fueled up, and that was a good one. I think I got a pulled pork sandwich, and I wasn't happy with it.
Really?
Yeah, my bun was soggy, and I don't like soggy buns.
Yeah, I think you grabbed one that had been sitting out for a while, maybe.
Yeah, I know. It's
Note to self. So when you go, walk up there and say, give me one without the sauce on it. So they make it right then, and then just grab a little thing of sauce.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a Bucky original right there.
Yeah, that's a little Bucky hack.
Yeah. So Sunday
is kind of it kicks off with the bike shows.
Yep, the first performance show. So yeah, Sunday morning we meet up at Bucky's, and we cruise over to Teddy Morse's Harley Davidson. Do they still call it Destination Daytona?
Well, I mean, I saw T-shirts that say Destination. A lot of people still say Destination. You know what? It's still Bruce Rossemeyer's Destination Daytona to me, because it's been that way since I've been going to Daytona, and it'll take a while for me to say Teddy Morris or Morris C or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of things since was there and got back of what they're going to do at that dealership for bike week.
Oh, all good things. That'll be another podcast.
I mean, to me, it's going to be better.
Good. Hey, better is good, right?
Better is always good when it comes to, you don't have to park at the truck stop and walk through.
Yeah.
And try to get in that place. But yeah, so we're at the Hardcore Performance Show, seeing what I would say some of the top motorcycles in the country, from all over the country, not just the Southeast. We're talking, I saw some California tags, Colorado tags, all the way to Maine.
Yeah, well, they definitely showed up this year in Daytona for sure. And the performance bike shows didn't disappoint, because everybody was there. You know, Forever Rad, Kyle had some bikes there. And I met up with Big Trouble, got to talk to him for a little bit about his old diner, about his current bike and the bike shows that he's been putting on. And he's doing a really cool thing with the Big Trouble bike shows.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's all about the motorcycle. Hey, let's all get together. Let's hang out and look at everybody's bikes and parts. And there's a crowd out there that's going to do wheelies. And this is what we love. This is why we have motorcycles. This is what makes it fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was drooling over every bike. I was just walking around. I think I was by myself, just walking around, looking at every little detail and getting ideas in my head. I think it might have been that day where I actually bought my first Hoffman design piece for my bike.
Was it that day? Was it Sunday?
I don't know. I don't remember. I was just excited to get a Hoffman piece.
Yeah, you did. You got a pretty cool part.
Yeah, so yeah, I got the stem nut cover, and this doesn't happen always with Hoffman design. I bought that stem cover, and it was installed by RG Destroyer himself, Mr. Adam.
He's like, watch this. I'll even put it on for you.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. He's like, listen, I think he really wanted to just take a walk and get away from the booth for a little bit. But hey, we took a walk over my bike, and he installed it, and it looks pretty cool. It's a 12-point stem nut cover.
Yes, and I have one coming too, but mine has to be tweaked a little bit.
Yep, I remember you talking that with Serge.
Yeah, so that's cool. Yeah, I was waiting on those guys. I know they were getting back from Daytona, I was like, well, I'll give them, you know, so they can get back in the swing of things. And I know they were going to the Donnie Smith show, which was last weekend, and then Arizona Bike Week. But I just looked on Instagram earlier today, and it doesn't look like the Hoffman guys made it out to Arizona for Bike Week.
Yeah, that's a tough schedule they got there. They got to make pods.
Back to back. I mean, that's, yeah, that is a lot of windshield time, because that's, I think Donnie Smith is there in Minnesota. That's in St. Paul.
Yeah, so
that's close for them. But, man, hauling back from Daytona, getting everything, you know, you've been out of your shop. All of the guys, everybody that travels in the circuit. I mean, to get back, load up again, get everything clean, get your head screwed back on, about, okay, now it's, because it's not a vacation for them. It's a vacation for me and you, but these guys that are out there working the show, this is their business, and they are working from, I mean, they're getting there at 9 o'clock and stay until 6, 7, 8. I mean, we were there one night till what, 7?
Yeah, I mean, the price that they told me that they pay just to be on that property, I mean,
unbelievable.
They got to make some money. And and from what I was talking to a couple guys and what they sold, and they definitely made some money. It was worth it, but it's a big money to put up front.
Yes, definitely.
So that was Sunday, the Hardcore Cycle Show. Definitely just didn't disappoint. Underneath the pavilion, all the bikes. We didn't stay until the very end. I think we bounced out of there. We hit the loop. And
did a little bit of riding. But yeah, the Hardcore Show, cool bikes, cool people. I mean, that pretty much to me kicks off the bike show for the year.
Yeah, oh, definitely. For me. I mean, definitely is, for me.
Yeah.
So
There's not any around here. Like I said, our weather hasn't been the greatest either. But
no.
And we always say this, and the people that send us messages say, you talk about Daytona a lot. Well, I mean, okay, Brian up there in New Hampshire has been snowed in for, I don't know, what, Thanksgiving.
Thank goodness for
horrible weather. And then where I'm at, which is, we had winter in December, which we never have. And it's just, I was just over winter. I'm quit. I mean, I'm good with 90 degrees.
Yeah, I'm over. Trust me, I am over this weather.
Yes. This is motorcycle season, but
yeah. Let's get back into our vacation where I was in a t-shirt and Monday morning, I'm heading to the Performance Hangover Show. It's a good ride, about 90 miles from my place. Mm-hmm. And then I got a text from Brian saying he's not going to make it. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you tell us why didn't you make it?
So I took a bike cover, and because I didn't park in the garage at the place I rented, kind of thought that was included, but as I dug a little deeper, it wasn't, which was fine. My bike was set outside before, and I'm taking the cover off, and I look down, and I'm like, why is that bolt on my front end loose? Did I do that? No, I didn't. I didn't touch it. I'm looking over the bike, and I'm like, that just doesn't seem right. So I pull out my little toolkit, and I tighten it back up, and I'm looking over the bike. I'm going from one end to the other. I'm like, you know, okay, maybe it just wasn't tied all the way. And, you know, so I've already ridden down here and ridden around. So, you know, I've been gone since Thursday, so we're talking Tuesday, and there's, you know, no issue that I felt or heard. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I want to go get this thing checked out just for peace of mind. So we go over to Daytona Bike Gold, and they're a shovelhead crowd, and they work on older stuff. And he looked at it, goes, you tightened it up, it looks okay. And then I get to looking at the tire, and so I bought this set of wheels from a guy I know at a swap meet, and I'm looking, the date codes were good, the tires were immaculate. I mean, they were, looked great. I mean, they even had good pressure in them when I bought them. So they've been sitting in my garage, I get them put on. I'm at Daytona Black Gold, I'm like, that front tire doesn't look all that great. A few little cracks in it. And that guy's like, you know, they had problems with these Dunlops. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, you might ought to check the date code on that. And I was like, I remember vaguely what the date code. They were less than 2 years. Okay. So I normally don't go over 2 years. 3 years is really pushing. It's just how I am. So I'm like, okay. And I got to thinking, there's another motorcycle shop that I've been to. And it's out on US 1, and it's called Hog Riding. And I'm like, I'm going to go check out those guys. And I'll just buy a tire. I know they got one. So I ride straight over there and holler out to Todd and Miranda. Todd's the owner. Miranda is the office manager in do-all. She answers the phone. She can put on the tire if she needed to. But Todd's back there in the back. He's doing all the service, doing all the sales. So I roll in there, talk to them, and he's like, yeah, he's like, there have been some issues with those tires. And he's like, you just happened to get one. I'm like, okay. I was like, let's just get one. And so he fixed me up with a tire. There was another little issue with the brake caliper, which is, I mean, not catastrophic, just something that needs to be tweaked. And so he put it on, did a test ride, and then by that time, you're already down at the performance hangover. And I'm like, we'll just hang out up here. And I hate that I missed that show. But I watched, three or four YouTube videos on it. And I've watched a bunch of Instagram on it. So I felt like I was there. And I actually saw you in a few of them.
Oh, that's funny. But, I mean, it was pretty much, it was mostly the same bikes from Hardcore, the Hardcore show.
Yeah.
But I think the only difference was there was a stunt show going on. So C-Bear and all those guys were out there ripping it. And so that was fun to watch.
They put those bikes through. Oh, man. And I've heard him say that motor is the original motor.
No, I don't think it is.
No, not the original to the bike, but like it's a S&S, if I'm not mistaken, like a S&S 110.
Yeah, something like that. But I forget. He said it was like 2,000 minutes or 2,000 seconds or something. Crazy number that's bounced off the rev limiter. It's been off the rev limiter for like 2 minutes or something.
I mean, they punish those motorcycles, and then they ride them everywhere.
Oh yeah, they're riding them like they're meant to be.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I parked kind of near where the stunt show was, like because you know you can kind of park wherever down there, Space Coast. Yeah. So I kind of parked close to the stunt show area because I knew. I'd be over there hanging out, whatever. So we're getting to leave. And all right, so I don't really want to offend anybody, but so there was a guy, I mean, I was proud of him. So but he had no legs.
Oh.
And he was on, you know, he was in his wheelchair. He was living it up, doing wheelies in his wheelchair. He was ripping around on a electric bike. So he was having a blast.
Yeah.
But when we were going to leave, he was riding a Grom inside the stunt area, and something happened where he said the brakes were backwards compared to what he was used to riding, and he slammed right into the fence right behind my bike.
Oh.
And I had my back turned because there was no stunt riders out there. I didn't even see him out on the track, and I just hear this big bang, and I'm like, what was that? I turn around and he was okay. And he was just I'm sorry, like, because he didn't hit any bikes, but he just bounced off the railing and scared the crap out of the people that were standing there.
Well, but, good. No one was hurt. No bikes were hurt. So,
yep. It
was a good day.
Yep. No one was hurt. And I was like, all right. I looked at my buddy Edwin. I said, all right, let's get out of here. Time to go. Yep. So that was Monday. That was a good time. They had a bunch of free waters. And you could go inside. We went inside the Harley dealer, check out some of the new bikes again.
Yeah, they had a whole performance side to that dealership. Am I correct?
Well, Space Coast Speedworks is kind of attached. I don't know if they're affiliated, but they're definitely attached. You can walk from one spot to the other pretty easily. But they did have a Fat Boy with the 120th red paint job and everything. That they just rolled it out and it had been sold, and it looked pretty good in person.
Oh yeah, Harley knocked it out of the park with the heirloom Red, I believe, is what it's called, the anniversary. Yeah. And if you follow Instagram, there's some new stuff coming. I don't know if how real those pictures are. Have you seen them?
Yeah, I saw the original ones, and the Road Glide looked like it was monstrous. But there's been new photos that have been leaked. Have you seen the new ones? Everybody's saying it looks like the Indian Challenge of the new Road Glide, but we'll have to wait to see when it really comes out.
Yeah.
But it looks like the Street Glide, it looks like it has this huge, like 12-inch wide screen to it. And it looks like everything's going to be digital. There's not going to be any analog gauges or anything like that. So everything's going to be digital.
That's what I saw. And I was like, okay. I mean, hey, you know, things do change. I mean, technology comes around, but...
Yeah,
you had a good time at the performance show, and I had a good time hanging out and getting to meet Todd and Miranda over at Hog Riding, and that's over there on US 1 in Daytona. It's probably, because I want to give them a shout out, because I just pulled up and they're like, hey man, we'll fix you up right now. I mean, there was no questions asked. Got a smoking deal on price and jam up, and he just, I've got a new friend in Daytona, and he's like, hey, you better come back and see me again, even if you don't need anything.
Hey, that's
probably, if you're listening, Miranda, yes, I can't wait to come back and hang out with you guys in October, which they said, hey, in October, we're kind of more laid back, we're not as busy, and we get to go out and get to ride. But yeah, they were jamming every time I rode by. I actually went back a few more times just as I was cutting through. Just hollered at him for a minute. Actually bought a used part from a Corbin backrest, and got a smoking deal on it. But again, shout out to those guys that helped me out at Hog Riding there in Daytona on US 1.
That's pretty cool. That's what Daytona is all about: meeting friends, yeah. Buying parts. And all right, so Monday, so Tuesday. Now we're into Tuesday of Daytona Bike Week.
Yes. Well,
I don't even remember what we did. I think, is that the morning we met up at Destination?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so we met up at Destination, and I had wanted to get my bike pinstriped by Roach Customs, so
yes.
I was back and forth on it, but I went over there, and I just said, hey, can you get me in today? And they said, yep, around 2 o'clock, and it's 9 o'clock. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
But no big deal.
Yeah.
The girl there, I forget her name. It's Four Munchkins Mama on Instagram, but she was really cool. It's RG Destroyer's wife, so
yeah,
she helped me out, got me in, got the design and everything, got it all straightened out.
And it looks killer too.
Yep, yeah, it came out awesome. And so yeah, so I think Tuesday was pretty much spent just walking around Destination Daytona the whole day, because I had put some pinstriping on my bike. My buddy Edwin had some Coastal Moto wheels put on his bike, which was pretty cool. Yeah. Some nice new chrome wheels.
He sure did. He looked. Hey, if they're not a sponsor, but if you want some good wheels and a good company, those guys are jam up. Coastal Moto is the way to go.
Yeah.
I don't, the deal he got, and you know, there you can Instagram or Facebook them and Google them. They are jam up. They took a trade on his wheels, and he got new tires, new wheels, and rotors.
Yep. And
the CVO.
Yep. And installed right then and there.
Right there and rolled out. And he was smiling, acting all, you know, Mr. Cool Cat on his new wheels, playing his radio loud.
Well, that was the previous year, so you know, you got to keep it going.
Definitely. Yeah, those are cool wheels. But as we come to this part of the Upshift podcast, we'd like to announce a new sponsor. And both of us are running Suspension Technologies out of Largo, Florida. We got Mike, Steve, and Peanut, the gang down there at Suspension Technologies. And they have teamed up with the Upshift podcast to let us roll their suspensions. And talk about yours first, because you actually had two different suspensions.
Yeah. Yeah. So at first, you know, it was great. Mike and Peanut, like, literally, we just were like, okay, yeah, we want to do this. We talked about it. And then, all right, bring your bike. So we rolled the bikes up, put them right on the lift, got the suspension on, put it on right away. So at first I went with 13-inch rear shocks.
Yes.
And, you know, he set them up for me and everything, my weight. And, you know, the night and day difference right off the bat. But as I was riding, I had like 13 and a half inches on my old ones.
Yeah.
So the height was, I was a little lower. I could tell when I came to a stoplight, like I was more, like my, I was just lower. My knees were a little higher and I was actually scraping my kickstand a lot more. So, so we went riding all day long with that and it rode great. And then we went back at night because I remember talking to you. I was like, you think they're still there? And you said, oh yeah. So we rolled back in and they were just about packing up ready to leave. And I told him what was going on. He's like, bring it over, bring the bike,
yep.
Don't move. And they swapped out my 13s and put some 14s on, and they are great.
Night and day difference.
Yeah, night and day difference. I just like sit up better, and it's just I already adjusted them once. I turned them down. They're so easy to adjust because
yes,
yeah, they put the sticker right on the back. It says softer, hotter, and it tells you which way to turn the coil.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can't mess it up. You just turn the coil and it's, so you start off with one turn. So I turned it one revolution and it made a huge difference. And the back of that bike is riding like air.
Yes. Yeah. These are guys who have come, they were in the automotive industry and we're going to have Mike on to talk about that, but I'm going to give you, so this is my second set of suspension technology shocks. I bought some for my Dyna, oh gosh, years and years and years ago at Bike Week. And just, you know me, I'll keep some pamphlet or some kind of thing. And I've had that laying around for years and I would see them. And, you know, Mike invented a reverse gear for touring bikes. I mean, he designed it, put it out, and was selling it there. COVID happened, hard to get the parts. The suspension is, you know, a better fit for him. He's probably gonna do something with that reverse drive gear eventually. This is what he told us while we were down there in Daytona. But these guys, they're not just fly-by-night. They are all American made right there in Largo, Florida. Shocks, all the components, they're put together right there in their shop. And he hits, you know, most of the rallies. He'll definitely be, you know, Bike Week in Daytona. We'll see him in Laconia. We'll see him again in Biketoberfest, if you can make it down for that. But to get back to the suspension, Brian went with 14. I went with 13. And here's the thing about it. With suspension, and we can sit here and talk about it all day long. I mean, okay, there's the guys out there that like the canisters and this and that. But I'm going to say that 9 out of 10 guys that go spend that kind of crazy money, we're talking $1,200, $1,500 plus for canister suspension, you know, with these other companies, don't use that to its full potential. So there's a lot of wasted money, we'll say. But you agree with that?
To an extent, yeah. I mean,
I'm just saying for what most of the guys and gals that ride out here, they ride for fun, like to go up in the mountains, hit the twisties, or, you know, down to the beach. They want a suspension that's going to respond to their riding style. And that's how you tune these. You tune them a little bit softer or, you know,
Stiffer,
you know, to your riding style.
Yeah, but I mean, you spend that money on those other companies that, and they're spending the money for the looks too, because, you know, you got to look cool. You got to have a good suspension. You got to look cool too. I mean,
yeah, look cool. But
I mean, I'd almost rather have a suspension that didn't work as good, but it looked cool. I don't know. Especially on my FXR where you can see it. It's out in the open.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Mike does black and he does chrome for that purpose. But, yeah, so you went with the 14s. I went with the 13s. We will be doing the front suspensions. And we're going to do a whole episode on suspension technologies. We're going to we're getting more miles on them. So I have, don't have it in front of me. So I got 4 or 5. I think I have a little over 600 miles on my suspension so far. It's like getting a new motorcycle, basically.
Yeah, you got to break it in.
Yeah, and I knew going down that my back end was squirrely because I had, you know, the old stock shocks on, and they are mass produced and they're made for a reason, to put on that bike from the factory. And hey, you could still run a stock seat, but put some upgraded suspension on your bike, and it's like getting a new bike.
Huh. Night and day.
Night and day different. I mean, and Brian, we went out and rode, and then you come back, you're like, okay, I need some more, as you have a tall inseam and the way your bike is set up. And then boom, you got the 14s, and we took off again, and night and day difference.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Just jam up. So I've talked to Mike since I've got back, and this is what he told me. He said they did over 80 front-end suspensions, and he did over 200 rear.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They worked from, I mean, every time we walked by the booth, they were putting something together. They were never standing around. I mean, they were sitting there putting on a suspension, and guys would come up and they would be talking to them, answering questions while they were taking off saddlebags, taking off stock shocks, putting on the new shocks.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm going to give this out on everybody. Go give them a like on Instagram and Facebook. But they are Suspension Technologies out of Largo, Florida. That's suspensiontechnologies.com. And here's what I want you to do. If you want suspension, you can reach out to me. You can reach out to Brian, and we'll give you the whole rundown. But you know what you can do? You can call Mike directly, and Mike will pick up the phone, and he will answer. And you can say, hey, I heard the Upshift podcast, and they're talking about these awesome suspensions that you make, and I want to get the whole lowdown. Tell me about it, and tell me why I should buy your product. And Mike will. And you can call him. I'm going to throw out his number, and we're going to put all this up here on our Instagram and on our Facebook. It's 727-233-3610, and that is Mike Alex with Suspension Technologies out of Largo, Florida. He does suspensions for your front on the touring. He does suspensions on the rear for all American V-twins.
Yep, so, and just remember, Mike is from down south, so he talks even more than Brian does. So just be prepared to be on the phone for a little bit. He's going to tell you everything you need to know, and then some.
Yeah. And I'm telling you this, the guys that I talk to, the ones that we know, like Paul over at the Fairing Exchange, Mike over there, Suspension Technologies, Serge and Curtis, you talk with the guys over at Roach. I mean, they, like I said before, they got there around 9 o'clock and they worked till the last person was serviced. And that was usually 6 or 7 o'clock. And that was 10 straight days.
Yeah, they were working like a girl at a brothel.
Yeah, we're rolling. So we're going to get to hang out with Mike and the gang up in Laconia.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. And Laconia, that's going to be our next episode. We're going to talk a lot about Laconia because there's actually some shows that are starting to pop up for Laconia that we're definitely going to have to be a part of. So
Definitely. We will. That will be our next episode coming out. That will be the Laconia preview, and then we've got Milwaukee coming up. We will put out a calendar if you want to come hang out with us. We were going to do a ride in Daytona, but again, Daytona is the destination. Like, we rode the loop a couple of times. Me and Brian rode up to Flagler, went to the Crazy Pelican, which was probably the worst day to go because it was windy and we got covered in salt air.
Yep.
We were covered from one end to the other.
But you know what? At least we weren't riding a friggin' slingshot.
So, okay. This is a controversy. And I did not see this. This is funny. I did not go to the Broken Spoke.
I didn't either.
I rode by and I was going to turn in and the traffic backed up and I'm like, oh, I don't want to sit here half, and I just kept on going. So this has been going around, this picture, and it's at the Broken Spoke, and I saw it a few times, so this is not made up, and I sent it to Brian. And I can't remember where I saw it. I'm sure it was on some Instagram page or something that had to do with Bike Week. And it said, no slingshots.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. But then I got to thinking. Okay, and then so it had to be Facebook because then, you know, everybody has to give their opinion. And this is the Upshift Podcast opinion. Do you agree when I say this?
Oh, I agree, yep.
Okay. Slingshot's not a motorcycle. And I'm sure someone just cut us off that listens to our podcast in their slingshot. But it's not a motorcycle. It has a steering wheel and a 3-cylinder motor, 4-cylinder motor. What does it have in it? It's made by Polaris.
I have no idea because I have absolutely no interest. I don't even look at them. I don't consider them a motorcycle at all. Like you said.
And if you walk by the Polaris deal at the Speedway, it is... the line out the door to ride those things, or drive them. You don't ride them, you drive them.
Oh, people love them. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't know if they feel safer on them or something, but they sit so low. I mean,
you could get run over. A motorcycle could run over.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you're riding a slingshot, we don't dislike you, but it's not a motorcycle. And no, you should not get motorcycle parking because it's a car. It just less one wheel and has a steering wheel.
I think I dislike you.
Oh, do right. You?
You're riding a slingshot or a T-Rex or whatever the heck those things are. Oh, jeez.
So Brian from New Hampshire says if you ride a slingshot, he doesn't like you.
No, or a Can-Am.
Is that a motorcycle? I mean, is it?
No, it isn't.
No, I don't think it is either. It looks like you're about to tip over.
Yeah.
And then they take up 6 parking places.
Well, that's the thing. That's why they don't want them in the Iron Horse, the Pro.
Oh, that's spoke. Exactly why, because there's not a lot of parking anyway. That was the whole thing is, hey, there's no parking. There's car parking across the street. It's $10.
Yeah,
exactly. A motorcycle rally. God, we have pissed. How many people do you think we pissed off by saying that?
Probably about 3, because
I have 7 that listen.
Well, hopefully none of our listeners ride slingshots because, you know, they're real motorcycle enthusiasts. So
yes, yeah. Oh gosh, yes, the slingshot, the Can-Am. Now a trike. That's a trike. It's not a motorcycle. They are sold at dealerships that sell motorcycles, but it plainly states if you go to Harley's website, it is a trike. And there's actually, in our state in South Carolina, there's a special test you take for a trike. And if you go to any kind of demo days, Daytona or at any dealership, when you want to take out a trike, there is a separate little thing. You have to watch a video and go through a little class because you don't lean a trike. So, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I can ride a motorcycle, I can ride a trike. Well, technically you probably can, but it's a trike. They don't call it a motorcycle. So, but I thought that was funny. And I was like, we've got to bring that up here on the podcast and I'm sure make somebody mad. Have we ever made anybody mad? Is this the first time you think we made somebody mad?
I don't know. Probably. Hell, we're a little G-rated, so I mean, I guess we're not making any enemies out here yet. But
no, I hope not. I said that like I have a bunch and I don't need any more. But
yeah, but well,
if you're mad at us, let us know.
Yeah, but the trike, I think, if you're riding a trike and you know, like you have a limp or something, like if you're not able to ride on 2 wheels. The trike, a Harley-based trike, is definitely the way to go.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
They come out with that new, so I was at the dealership the other day, the Road Glide Trike 3, the Road Glide 3.
What do they call it, the Free Glide? Is that what they call it?
I thought it was the Road Glide 3.
Oh, maybe, yeah, I don't really know.
Okay, they are like all sold out. All their allotment is already sold.
I believe it. I mean,
it's a cool looking bike. I saw one. I saw that custom one they did for the custom bike show for Traveling Tall. I saw that. I mean, it was out at the Speedway. Hey, we didn't talk about this. The demos.
Oh yeah. Hey, we did the demos. Yeah.
I mean, when you go, they start running together. Especially you. You were like gone for a month. But yeah, we went over to do. We were just hanging out at the Speedway, looking at all that. My goodness, there's just you can wear your eyes out looking at all the stuff there.
Yeah, I think we were at the. We went to Destination, and we went to the Renegade Babes. They were having an all girl
motorcycle show.
Yep, that was pretty cool. Some pretty cool bikes there. Pretty
cool bikes. And we walked over, and I was like, "Hey, let's do the demos. We're already here." Walked back, and grabbed our helmets. I think you wore one of theirs.
Yep.
No telling who had it on before you, but
I'm glad I don't have any hair for anything to stick to.
I wanted to ride the Heritage. I've ridden the Heritage before. I own one. But I rode a new one, and I just wanted to jump on it. I was gonna ride the ST, but they were all out, and I think you ended up on the ST Road Glide.
No, I rode a Lowrider ST.
With the 117. That the first time?
That was my first time ever riding it, and it was probably a bad idea because I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah, that thing is fast. The fairing is just cool sitting behind it.
It is.
You got the bags. It's like, this is the ultimate bike. I mean, but you know, it sounded like a sewing machine. The handlebars, I couldn't really. I'm a little tall, so.
Okay, well, here's a question for you. Answer truthfully.
All right.
Would you sell your FXR, your Shovelhead, and your Road Glide and get a brand new Lowrider ST?
Oh. I mean, I know you can only ride one motorcycle at a time. What?
Answer truthfully.
Yeah, I know. So I was saying, you can only ride one motorcycle at a time. But I would not sell those three bikes for one bike. Because, I mean, I'm no collector or anything, but I like, right, like right now, I think I have the best garage, like with a Road Glide, FXR, and Shovel. I think, in my mind, I got the best of the worlds, you know?
And you have a Fox body.
Yeah, the Fox body just sitting up there, looking down, saying, the Fox body's staring at me when I'm putting on new wheels under the Road Glide. what about me? Come on. You put so much money into me. Now I just sit here.
Yeah, because they're soft on the road.
Yeah.
Did you explain that to me?
Yeah, you want to rot away, Fonny?
That's the hard thing. If you have cars or car and motorcycles, that's I like motorcycles way more than I like cars.
Yeah. The thing about cars is like they take up a lot of room. They're a lot of money. And you can't just change one little thing and change up the whole bike. You can't change the handlebars. Like you can't change the steering wheel and have it change the whole bike. The whole car, I mean.
It's a new interior, you know, and then there's paint.
There's so much to it. Oh, they take up so much room, and it's,
No. I mean, my daily driver is a Mustang. A convertible at that, too. And I love it. It's fun. I mean, it's just a little six-cylinder, but, I mean,
if I had just met you, and I could picture you in that car, a 96, 7, 8, whatever year that is.
There's a 98. Yeah.
98 Mustang convertible six-cylinder. If that isn't you, I don't know what is.
Yeah. I mean, it's 279,000 miles, second motor, original transmission. It's got GT wheels on it, third paint job. It's been in my family. It's a third top, second interior. It has been in my family since... Oh gosh, so it's a 98. It's been in my family since like 2004-ish, maybe.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I think it had like 50,000 miles. But it was my mother's car.
Okay.
That's what my mother drove. My mother was, when she was still working, she had a convertible Mustang. That's what she wanted. She was a cool cat riding around in a convertible Mustang. And my dad had a Fox body, 5.0.
Nice. Yeah, he was the man.
Yeah. So both of them at the same time were were sporting Mustangs, and my brother had one.
He had
the 89 or 90 little bitty four-cylinder convertible. And then my brother went to college. He got that car, and it just we never got rid of it. And then it ended up in my hands. And it, actually, it sat at my house in my carport for probably a year, year and a half, and nobody drove it. And I finally got it out, washed it. And it just got new tires on it here back in the winter. I mean, I drive it. It's fun.
Yeah. I mean, Mustangs are definitely in my family because when I met my wife, she had a Mustang and I didn't. And now, you know, now she's got her own Mustang. So we both have Mustangs now. She's got a 1998 Cobra convertible. And, man, I got the Fox Boy. So it's almost like your parents. I'm your parents.
That's pretty funny. But, yes, I mean, I love cars and they're fun, but oh man, they have so much room. And then you feel guilty if it's not your daily driver. Yeah. Like when I have my Corvettes, I'm like, so then I would daily drive it. And then people, why are you driving your Corvette every day? I'm like, what's my car? I mean, how am I going to get around if I'm not on my bike? So, you know, after I got out of that, I'm like, the motorcycles, they're more fun. Now, granted, you can't ride them when it's 6 degrees. And, you know, where you're at, there's, you know, 4 feet of snow. Okay, I understand that. But I get more enjoyment out of riding my motorcycle than I ever had out of a Corvette or a Mustang.
Yep, same here. And I enjoy working on the motorcycle way more than the car.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's just a better experience, you know.
It is. And it's not, you know, again, it's not for everybody. But I mean, motorcycles is the life that I have. It's not that I've chose it. I mean, that's kind of stupid to say, but it's. I mean, I love it. I'm an enthusiast. If I'm not thinking about a motorcycle, riding a motorcycle, washing a motorcycle, putting a part on one, or thinking about a part, I'm asleep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Live to ride, ride to live.
Yes. I mean, screaming eagles all day long. It's it's so much fun. I mean, I would not know Brian if it wasn't for motorcycles. We would not have met Adam and his wife and Curtis and Serge and those guys that, you know, we see at the rallies.
Oh, yeah. And even the Voice of Reason, one of my best friends.
Yeah.
It's because of motorcycles. I remember they used to be a Lowell motorcycle night. Every Tuesday night was a motorcycle night. And he would text me. I don't think either one of us wanted to go, but we wanted to just go hang out together and look at motorcycles. But, like, that motorcycle night, it was nothing cool. There was no – it's not a hangover show. That's for sure. Yeah. It wasn't anything like a hard – it was a mix of everything, but it was still fun to go. And that's how – you know, and that was probably – I've probably known Bob for, God, I don't even know how long now, but it's all because of motorcycles.
Definitely, yeah. It's all my friends, and that's what – you know, all winter when we couldn't ride, we talked about, you know, what we're going to do, where we're going to go, where we're riding. And, you know, we've got a little trip planned in May and a little text chain back and forth. Like, hey, one of the guys, he's already ordered a part, getting it installed. You know, at Myrtle Beach. And he's like, man, I can't wait for that. I know that's coming up in May and that's a long way off. I was like, but hey, that gives you something to look forward to. Because he said, hey, I'm working some OT so I can get my time off. And he's getting a paint and interfering installed from Paul down there in Myrtle Beach at the Fairing Exchange.
Nice. And yeah, I mean,
can't wait.
All my friends from Indiana, I met them through motorcycles. And actually, my buddy RJ, he went to Suspension Technologies and got some. Yeah, he told him they like to ride two up a lot with his wife. And Mike hooked him up with some nice rear suspension. And I'm going to talk to RJ and get some feedback from him. And I'll let you guys know just on how the two up works out for him, because his wife was always complaining that, you know, so hopefully with the new suspension from Mike, that she gets out and rides with them some more and they can put some miles down together.
Definitely, yeah. And like I said, my girlfriend was with me, so we were two up while we were in Daytona, and then I was solo, packed down, coming back home. But I've been solo since I've been back and riding a little bit. I'm going to ride to work probably the rest of the week. I just didn't today. I had just things I needed to get done, and I'm like, I'll just take the car today. But I think probably from here on out, unless it's pouring down rain, it'll be motorcycles.
Yeah, that's nice.
It will be motorcycles. So we come, if you listen this far, thank you for listening to the Upshift podcast. But we always, and sometimes we forget, but we end it with what's in your saddlebag.
So I got to, first I got to say, my buddy, my man on Instagram, HDAV Traveler, he's going to be upset. He wants longer episodes.
Oh, God. Well, he needs to come on here and talk.
Well, he's from Texas, and he likes to send me pictures of him riding, and then I send him back some snow pictures. But he's in Texas riding friggin' his – I think he's got a Heritage or Road King, one of those two. But he's putting down some miles in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah. And he wants longer episodes.
Yeah, because it's funny. He said, I was talking to him the other night, he said, that every time Brian says, we've rambled on about more, I'm like, just keep going longer.
What else do you want me to say?
I said, we run out of things to say. Nobody wants to hear about what I had for breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. Unless we were on our motorcycles at Bucky's.
Right. So, all right, let's get back. So what's in your saddlebag, Brian? What can you give us?
What is in my saddlebag? And I've probably told you this before, but always keep a little multi-tool that has Allen's on it, because I needed one in Daytona, and I needed on the other end, it's a Gerber tool. Is it Gerber? How do you pronounce that?
I don't even know what you're talking about, to be honest.
It's a little multi-tool. It's called a Gerbler.
Gerber. I heard like Swiss Army tool. I've never heard of Gerber.
I mean, it's in a little pouch. I will put up a picture of it, and I've had it for years, and it's always in there, but I had that, and I needed the pliers on it, and I needed the little Allen. So, and we say it a lot, but just always keep a little multi-tool in the saddlebag.
Yep, I got my little tool roll, so yeah, you got to have it. You got the saddlebags, you got to have something.
Okay, what's in yours?
So, what's in my saddlebag is now on the side of my saddlebag. Okay. So, I go with... I put numbers on all my bikes. It's just a thing. My motocross number. Mm-hmm. So Choice Cycles. Brian over at Choice Cycles does a great job. You can go on his website. You can pick any color, any number, any combination. But I finally put some numbers onto the Road Glide, and it just finished it off to me, because the pinstriping was on there. Looked great, but I needed a little bit more.
Yep.
So once I put the numbers on, it's like they married into each other. They were meant to be.
That's what I was about to say. That it was meant to be on that motorcycle.
Yeah. So like the blue around the numbers goes perfect with the blue on the pinstriping, and it just, I love it. I had to roll it out and take some pictures. I was so excited. I couldn't ride it because it was friggin', 32 degrees out. But I guess I could have. But I'm not that hardcore, so. Yeah. I didn't. I'm not a real rider.
Yeah, well, you could have thrown on your Indy Ridge gloves and your Indy Ridge boots, and you would have had to spend the rest of the week washing all the salt off of it, but you could have done.
Yeah. And I've been clean. I've been really bored lately, so I've been cleaning the bike a lot. So I got my wheels looking pretty good.
Okay. And,
but I'm not afraid to ride in the rain, but I'm not leaving my house in the rain. If I get caught, no big deal.
Yeah, I'm the same way. But sometimes you're committed and you have to do it.
Yeah, I'm sure Mr. HDAV Traveler will have something to say about that he rides in the rain.
Oh, does he? Okay.
I don't know if he does, but...
podcast, and he can ramble on about nonsense like we do.
Yeah, so he's good at rambling.
You're welcome to come on anytime. If we can figure out how to patch you in here, we'll do it.
So by maybe 3 years from now, we'll figure that out.
But yeah, if you listen this far, we appreciate you listening to the Upshift podcast, the Daytona Fever Hangover episode. Yes, we are back. We're going to be getting episodes out every 2 weeks. Probably going to put out another one next week if we can find something to talk about. Oh, we will have a lot to talk about. But thank you for listening to the Upshift podcast. And tell them where they can follow you on Instagram, right?
Yes, Instagram, the Upshift podcast _NH. I changed it up a little bit. I took the Brian off, but so it's the Upshift Podcast _NH. And I've been posting up a bunch of pictures. Oh, we didn't even get to talk about my shovel head. So next episode, we're going to talk Laconia, my shovel head, an FXR show. What? Come on.
Oh, man.
I can't wait. And then, I'll just save it all for next episode. My shovel head got parts dropped off to different places. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that.
And I got new parts coming too.
Yeah. So what I'll put it up all on my Instagram. Give me a follow. I know that a couple people shared my bike, and I love it, seeing it on the internet. So
yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah, so I think I'm catching up to you with followers. Yeah. So where can they find you to follow you?
They can find me at The Upshift on Instagram, The Upshift Podcast.
Yes,
on Instagram. And HarleyGuy105 is my personal page. I hardly ever put anything on there anymore. So on The Upshift, but before we leave, I did drill a hole in my rear carbon fender.
I saw that. It was. I like that you had the correct safety attire on.
Yes, I was gloves, full Dixon flannel, and I had my glasses on, which are, we'll call them safety glasses. Yeah. And then I had Dwayne, you remember that guy? He came over for moral support and to film, and I didn't even ask him to film, but he filmed.
Yeah, he got fired, but he's still in the background.
Yeah. He still shows up every now and then because I had to borrow some of his tools. I actually had to borrow his drill. I did not have a drill. I mean, I have a few drills, but nothing that would fit that and do that job. And so it got done. And the seat's on. Funny story about that before we go. The Road King that I had, when I sold it, I kind of kept in contact with a guy. And I'm in Daytona, and I just happened to pop on eBay when I was laying in bed one night, and I see this Corbin seat, and I'm like, I had one of those. And I'm looking at the picture, and I'm like, I know that guy. So I sent him a text, and I'm like, are you selling that Corbin seat off of the Road King on eBay? He's like, I am. I'm like, well, I want it. So I'm in Daytona. When I get back, I'll buy it. He's like, okay. And he took it down. He ended the auction. I got back home. I sent him the cash, and it showed up about 3 days later. So I have an old Corbin seat back. I like that seat. A buddy of mine bought that seat, and he ended up quit riding health reasons, and he had to sell all of his motorcycles and his stuff. And I bought that seat from him, and I love it. It's just a lot of people don't. I don't care. It's a comfortable seat. It's basically brand new. I'm the one that put miles on it. And I wanted it back on my bike, so I got it back. So I'm running the old Corbin.
Awesome. And definitely, if you're still listening, shoot us a message. We got leftover Daytona stickers. I know it's hard to believe. Not everybody wanted that sticker, but we got leftover stickers. So shoot us a message. We'll send you out some stickers.
Yeah, we'll send you out some Daytona stickers. Even though you didn't go, you'll still get one.
Yep.
But we appreciate you guys and gals tuning in to the Upshift Podcast, and we will see you on the next one.
See ya.